Adams, Adamley, Adamowski, Bueller, Burns, Burns, Burns. Joe, where are you going with that mic in your hand?
It's time for school, Rock School, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Started out as Hannah Montana, and she had a slew of little poppy hits.
Right.
And that's she did what a lot of Pop-Tarts do. They change their image either to grunge like Alanis Morissette, or they go like super sexy like Christina Aguilera.
Class is in.
This is the Rock School Radio Show here on the Rock School Radio Network. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
Oh, hey, by the way, did you know that the radio show here is being brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB, at least in part? Hey, you, woman over there to my right.
Right.
You like Beyonce?
I do.
Yeah, she's the Queen Bey, is she not?
Oh, yes, she is.
She's had all kinds of chart success, but has a brand new success and a brand new record. She is the first African-American woman to debut at the top of the country charts.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice.
Back on the 29th of March, her album Act Two, appropriately named, it came out. It was a country album. And it wasn't, you know, somebody like Lil Nas X trying to do hip-hop country or something like that. It is about as straightforward country as you can believe. And those even who are a country music fan have accepted it. It turned into TikTok dances and all that kind of stuff. Now, here's the thing. It's fun, but because it's Beyonce, what you have are things like Beyonce will change the game. Beyonce is changing the genre. Beyonce will break all the stereotypes. No, there have been African-American people that have gone to number one in the country charts previously. This is kind of a fun anomaly, but you gotta know, she's not gonna stay in the country realm.
No.
I don't think so. It's fun for the moment, but look, she's not gonna change all that is country music. And I say that because it sort of moves me into the topic for today's show. She's not even close to the first person to change genres.
Really?
Oh my goodness, yes. And a lot of people have jumped to country. A lot have jumped from rap to rock and all of that. And I've got a list of, I counted them up, 31 different people who have done such a thing. And I can play some clips and I can play some full songs. So let's play a full song here. This is Texas Hold'em. If you don't know the Beyonce of country, this is the country Beyonce who is the Beyonce of country. That didn't come out the way I wanted it to here on Rock School.
This ain't Texas, ain't no hold'em,
hey.
So lay your cards down.
If I cannot dance with you, come pour some liquor on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a, come take it to the floor now, ooh. Take it to the floor now, ooh.
Oops, spurs, boots.
To the floor now, ooh.
Top. Take it to the floor now, ooh.
And I'll be damned if I cannot dance with you. Baby, pour that sugar and liquor on me too.
Spurs, spurs, boots. Solagenic, photogenic. Shoot.
Coming out of Beyonce, we're going to talk about these people, these musician-type people who have changed genres. You know the Go-Go's, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just a cute girls doing pop music, da-da-da-da-da. When they first got started, they were a punk band.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. You can find some great videos online. In fact, Belinda Carlisle, I think, was a drummer for The Germs for a while. Oh, yeah. There's a couple where they're drunk as skunks, and they're talking about sex, and yeah, that's out there as well.
Wow, they're real punky, huh?
Kid Rock. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
My name is Kid. It's Kid, baby. Kid Rock.
Right? He's like straight ahead country now.
Are you kidding?
Oh, I'm not kidding at all. He had a country hit with Sheryl Crow, a few other things like that. Yeah. Nelly Furtado, she was pop for the longest time. Now she is into really hard hip hop. So there
Don't
you
figure,
go.
Huh?
Rolling Stones, they're a rock band, right?
Yeah.
Nope, they went disco. Remember Waiting on a Friend?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, and Kiss did it too. I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving
You're
me.
You're right. A lot of people jumped in on the disco
I think
wagon,
so.
Huh?
Yeah, and the thing is, they had hits with it. They didn't do it better than the Bee Gees, but at least it was a way for people who liked rock music to kind of go, okay.
I like them.
Yeah, because disco really only means to dance.
Right.
So many people have attached the big high platform shoes and the wrap dresses and things like that with it, but it really only means to dance. Alanis Morissette, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where does she land? Is she grunge? Would you call her a grunge genre?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would think so.
Just the very angry album that people said, you know, mm-hmm. the Jagged Little Pill and all of that. Did you know that before she became the queen of that angry music, I keep saying that, someone's going to get upset at that, she was a Pop-Tart in Canada.
What do you mean a Pop-Tart?
She was one of those Britney Spears, poppy-tarty type things
really?
In Canada. Yeah, she said that one of the reasons she wanted to get out of it is A, she didn't like the music, and B, she was all, like Britney Spears,
mm-hmm.
she was all the visual presence.
Ooh.
And she said, I don't stay thin easily. And people used to tell her, you know, don't eat forever. Don't even put milk in your coffee.
She likes Pop-Tarts. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I would suggest.
That's what I would eat.
And she said she would starve herself for days at a time. Given a little enough time, she could swing her weight 20 minutes.
Wow.
20 minutes, 20 pounds, either way. And she had to get out of it. And plus, that wasn't what she wanted to do.
Yep.
You know, what'd be real fun is to play an Alanis Morris song from when she was not the queen of grunge, but when she was a Canadian Pop-Tart. Want to hear it?
I do.
Sounds like this on Rock School. Talking about people and bands who have jumped from one genre to the other, Amy Grant. Amy Grant sung nothing but religious songs until she went straight pop. Do you remember? Baby, baby, something, something, something. Yep.
It was so good you can't remember it,
I
right?
I can't. She had an album called Heart in Motion. I remember mm-hmm. she also had that one big giant, like, curl, hair curl coming down in front. And every woman did the same thing.
I'm surprised you can't remember all of those songs because I was a huge Amy Grant fan.
I blocked it out.
You know? I know. You had to.
She won the Best Gospel Album in 1980. That's obviously the Grammy. And then the next year had a number one hit with The Next Time I Fall with Peter Cetera from Chicago.
Yeah. When she got a divorce from her husband is when everything fell apart.
Yeah. When she started to have success. Maybe it was him. Who knows?
Ooh.
Chicago started out as a heck of a rock band, and then they went into yacht rock. More successful, that's the thing. What is worse, losing your genre
mm-hmm.
or the success that you have and somehow with your fans being seen as a sellout or something like that?
I don't know.
Some of Chicago's earlier stuff is just rock.
God, it's awesome.
And then calmly. By the way, Chicago is the band that you and I have seen the most together. I think it was 4 times.
Yeah.
We've seen you. They kept coming through and the radio station kept getting tickets and all of that.
It was great every time.
Oh, absolutely.
The horn section was unbelievable.
Same guys.
Yeah.
Same guys every
Unreal.
Time. Darius Rucker used to be the lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish, had a monstrous song with them. However, he decided to quit pop music and go country. He's gone to number one multiple times. And by the way, he's not the first African-American male artist to make it to number one. That's a person by the name of Charlie Pride.
Yeah, it was.
And furthermore, we just had Jimmy Allen. He was the first African-American male to reach number one on country radio with a debut single. And also a guy named Kane Brown had the top country and pop album in the United States back on November 21st. I'm reading it off my computer here. November 21st, 2018. So You probably know Darius Rucker from Only Want to Be With You. I'm just singing way too much in this one. However, if you look at his discography, a ton of number one hits, and the one that I actually perform when we're out live, Wagon Wheel.
Yeah.
Went to number one, so here he is. It's Wagon Wheel on Rock School. Into the break, talking about bands and artists who have jumped. REO Speedwagon started off as a classic rock band. If you haven't heard REO Speedwagon's Riding the Storm Out, with Gary Richrath playing that gold-topped Les Paul and just rocking your face off. And then they kind of went to a pop rock into straight-up adult alternative.
Yeah, it was sad.
That's that question I had about Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you keep your cred, or do you, you know, change to make the money? I had a big argument with a friend of mine who was a musician. There was a band that had a bad name, and the name stopped them from getting any kind of a record deal or anything like that. And he said, you know, good for them. And I said, no, it's not good for them. They should have changed their name, become famous, and then use their leverage to go back to their original thing. Whereas that would have at least kept them fed.
Right.
And he's like, no, you keep your credit. Okay. All right. We went back and forth with that a whole bunch. Bob Dylan went from folk to rock, to gospel, to Christian, to straight pop. He's jumped all over the place.
Yeah.
And the one that came up that I thought was interesting, I never thought about this. Kenny Rogers,
mm-hmm.
he became a straightforward country artist.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, I love it.
Islands in the Stream. However, when he was back in the psychedelic 60s, he was part of a band called The First Edition.
Yeah.
That had these weird songs like Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In.
Oh, I love his old stuff.
That's when he said that, you know, how do you write a hit song? He said, well, I steal something and then change it just enough that I can't get caught. Okay, man. Absolutely love it.
He was too truthful.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you one more. Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 60s, when it was Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, it was a straight blues band. Absolute straight monster blues band. They wrote Black Magic Woman. No, it wasn't Santana. Santana had the hit with it, obviously. But it was when Lindsey Buckingham showed up and then brought his girlfriend, Stevie Nicks, that they basically became a hit-making pop band.
Oh, why'd they have to do that?
Well, because they were thinking about tomorrow and decided not to stop. Wow, I shoved that reference in sideways. Go ahead, who's listening to us?
KFOK, Sacramento, California.
Brilliant. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Break. Let me do two for you here. Actually, play you a little bit of a couple of them. Miley Cyrus started out as Hannah Montana, and she had a slew of Little Poppy hits.
Right.
And that's she did what a lot of Pop-Tarts do. They change their image either to grunge like Alanis Morissette, or they go like super sexy like Christina Aguilera. But yeah, she went sort of the more sexy way. But yeah, let me just play about 10 seconds of something from Hannah Montana. It doesn't sound like Wrecking Ball. Listen to it. Cross the floor, shuffle in the what else do we have on here? Little Nas X. He started as a... I don't know that this really fits here. I think his Old Town Road was a departure, and that's the one that hit.
Right.
Because now he's back to full-blown, ready, heavy, dirty R&B.
Oh, really?
Is it rap, do you suppose?
It's
in that general. But it sure as heck isn't country. I remember we did a show on Little Nas X because there was... a little bit of controversy because he put out this song and the country charts looked at him and went, that's not country. And I listened to it and I went, yes, it is. I'm sorry you don't like who performed it, but that's a country song.
I loved the song.
Yeah, so do I. I think it's a good song. Linda Ronstadt, just pure pop stuff. You're No Good. Just love it. Blue Bayou.
Yeah.
Did you know she is fluent in Spanish?
No.
Did you know her father is Hispanic and used to sing songs? She has an album, multiple albums, where she sings in Spanish.
Oh, my gosh.
Would you like to hear one?
Do it.
It
do
goes
it.
Like this on Rock School.
Parecía
un jardín azul,
nube oro, mi jardín azul, cuando me querías tú,
cuando me querías tú.
Okay, welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name's Joe Burns. You are
Tammy Burns.
Now, Genesis, if not Phil Collins, Genesis started out when Peter Gabriel was there. One of my favorite albums, Selling England by the Pound. Just progressive rock brilliance for no reason. Let's play a song in 15/16. Why? Why not? You know, hey, beat that man. Beat him in 6/8 time. That's what they were. And it just seems when Phil Collins came to the front, they had real success with what he called sort of a throwaway song. There must be some misunderstanding. I think he talks about it being something that sounds like a wedding standard.
Yeah.
And that's the one that hit.
Right.
So then you start to get the more pop stuff. And then when Phil Collins, goes out, he again becomes pop to the point of... redoing songs from the Supremes, You Can't Hurry Love,
right,
and such. But, you know, all of that kind of went to the back. And what was I going to say here as well? Taylor Swift, that's another one. She is a pop song, and she curses a lot in her music and blah, 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 blah. But she was, for two albums, a pure country princess.
And I loved her country stuff.
Yeah, really
it was good.
Something else. You know, there's a person named Tinashe. He has pop and R&B and all of that. And he started with an entire different way as a guest solo artist on other people's albums and such, and has now changed over to an entire different kind of music. So we got one more that we're going to play, but we got to do 7 days and 70 seconds, April 15th through April 21. You got Monday, Tammy. Go.
April 15th, tax day.
Woo!
Ooh. And in 1971, the Beatles win an Oscar for Let It Be.
April 16th, 1964, Dean Martin needed one more song for an album and covered
Everybody Loves Somebody Sometimes
as a fluke. It goes on to be one of his best-known tunes.
April 17, 1969, the band plays their first concert as a band of their own and not a backup.
April 18, 1987, MTV debuts Headbangers Ball.
April 19, 2002, the first song recognized by the app Shazam is Jeepster by T-Rex.
April 20, 1993, Toby Keith releases his first album, Should Have Been a Cowboy, becomes a big hit. April 21, 2003, the lawsuits against Napster begin as EMI and Universal Music sue. Obviously, you know who Katy Perry is.
Katy Perry, who
is
she?
Oh, you love it. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. This is how we do. Do-do-do-do-do. That's right. That's right. I have a daughter, so I know all of these. You may not know this, but Katy Perry did not start as a kind of hard-edged Pop-Tart.
I know.
She began as Katie Hudson,
yeah.
Obviously changing her name because of the actress Kate Hudson. But when she put out her first album, it was contemporary Christian rock.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Have you ever heard one of her Christian rock
no,
tunes?
No, I don't think so.
You're about to.
Thank you.
Right here on Rock School. Coming into the second break, let me play you a few of these. Michael Bolton, you obviously know him as the long-haired crooner. How am I supposed to live without you? Here's the thing. For the longest time, he made his living as the frontman of Blackjack, a hard rock heavy metal band.
Yeah?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
I do.
Yes, I know you do. Here's about 20 seconds of Michael Bolton, Blackjack. There you go.
Did I like that?
I don't know. The hair fits. The hair absolutely fits. The Beastie Boys, you may not know this, but everybody knows the Beastie Boys as kind of a party boy, frat boy rap act that was a lot smarter than they let on. I think they did, as I've heard, they did You Gotta Fight for the Right to Party. It was a joke. They were making fun of frat guys.
Oh, okay.
And it hit.
Wow.
So I think they were a lot smarter than they wanted to let on. But previous to getting into the rap career, they were a punk band. And you can see bits and pieces of it inside of the song Sabotage. Every time they performed it live, and I've never seen them in concert, but I've seen them on like David Letterman and that kind of stuff. They came out and played their instruments.
I can see that.
Let me play it for you. Here's a little bit of the Beastie Boys when they were still a punk band. Okay, let's do one last one here. The Bee Gees. What does everyone know the Bee Gees for? Staying alive, staying alive. That idea of singing in falsetto.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Barry Gibb, it's comfortable. Didn't hurt the voice.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to scream to hit a high note. It was just there.
Mm-hmm.
So he would do that, and he found there was success in the silly things. If you haven't seen the Bee Gees documentary, I think it's on HBO, you really need to see it, because you think of a band as writing a song, bringing it to the studio, and then performing the song. They didn't work that way. They would have like chips and chops and bits and pieces, and they would show up and just with other musicians would play and goof around until somehow a song mushroomed out of this pile of what they had. And you can hear it on the video. It shows a little bit of them trying to put it together and bass lines being played with. That's, man, that's walking on a high wire.
It's crazy.
What if you come in and you got all these bits and bops and nothing's growing? That would scare me to death. Like I said, that's walking on a high wire. The thing is, the Bee Gees in the 50s and 60s did not play anything near disco. They weren't a dance band in any way. They were like, they were close to kind of a poppy rock, and they were just the three crooners that sang harmonies. Here's about 20 seconds of a Bee Gees song from that time. I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the song Massachusetts and a few other things like that. But I like my Bee Gees with long hair and intensely tight pants.
Tearing it up.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want them all walking in a straight line, talking to me as they're doing it. That's what I want. I think to me, and I mean this, I think their song Tragedy is top of the heap. That's the best song they ever created.
Staying Alive for me.
It's just, to me, I just love that blast into the chorus.
Right.
Tragedy and the feeling's gone and you can't go on. I love that blast into the chorus. Just well written. But again, it's like four guys standing in a room. Let's keep coming up with stuff, fellas. What do you do if it don't come? You know what I mean?
Well, it did.
If the muse doesn't befall
Guess what? It did.
I don't know. Okay. All right. Who's listening to us?
WYAP, Clay, West Virginia.
We're on the Yap, honey. We're on the Yap up there in West Virginia. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Coming out of the break, how about Gwen Stefani?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she started as the leader of No Doubt, which is a ska band. I get it. They lean a little pop, but everything they do has got that fusion that's got that ska feel in there.
Right.
And she had some monster hits with that, I'm just a girl, except the way she sings it. There's always that, like that
how
little
does
it bit
sound?
Of, what's that? It's got a little bit of baby mouth in it. Oh. I'm just a girl. It's always that little bit of baby mouth
in
it.
Yeah, nobody can sound like her though,
no,
right?
She doesn't. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. Then she goes out on her own. She becomes this electropop thing. Ain't no hollaback girl, so it's pop with a little bit of hip-hop in it. Then she marries Blake Shelton. Now all of a sudden she's born again country.
Is she really?
Yeah.
So, wow.
And I'm sure it's one of those things, well, yes, it's country, but I'm infusing it with, shut up. Shut up and sing the song.
You got Blake. Just shut up and sing, girl.
We don't got Blake. You got Blake. So, yeah, at least three movements.
Wow.
What's his name? The guy from the Stray Cats. He brought back the rockabilly and then decided to bring back big band.
Yeah.
So he's done it twice. I mean, if he came out and said, I'm going to make punk, country, jazz, fusion, you'd have to listen to him.
We'd go see him.
Let's go see
him. We'd go to the casino and watch him.
The Byrds. Now, a lot of you probably know the Byrds from when Crosby was with them, and they were a folk rock band that leaned a little bit towards the harder stuff. They weren't quite the mamas and the papas.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, after Crosby left, in comes a guy named Graham Parsons. If you listen to their album Sweetheart of the Rodeo, who is this again?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the Byrds. No, it's not. This is a mountain gospel country band.
Yep.
And it's all because of Graham Parsons. So I'm going to play something from the Byrds that you probably listen to and go, that's the Byrds? Yes, it are. Here on Rock School.
Clouds so swift, rain won't lift, gate won't close, feelings froze. Get your mind
today.
All right, last break here on the Rock School Show. We were talking while that song was playing that it's difficult as an artist to do anything different because you hear people, your fans, will make the statement, geez, it all sounds the same. Do something different. And then you do something different. And then it's like, well, where's the old stuff? I think the best response to that, Angus Young of AC/DC, I may have the numbers wrong, but the general idea is some rock critic said to him, you know, you have 12 albums that all sound the same. And he goes, that's not true. We have 13 albums that all sound the same. You know, you wish you're that clever.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I just
I love it.
I want to be able to swing that hard. Yeah, what are you going to do? All right, I got four more for you. No, I got five more for you here. Machine Gun Kelly started out as a rapper and a hip-hop artist when he decided to become a rock star. And he decided to buy a pink Stratocaster-esque guitar. I got a buddy named Richard, just got married. His wife is the biggest Machine Gun Kelly fan in the world. He was up on Facebook. You know, we went to the concert and the whole schmeal, and apparently he put on a decent show. She was happy with it. David Bowie. How many times did this guy jump genres?
Oh, six?
Yeah, ridiculous. My favorite Bowie genre was the Let's Dance. The suit, the sort of 40s, and it wasn't big band.
Right.
But it was, it kind of had that reminisce to it. That was my favorite. And then after that was like the Tin Man thought process. Don't get me wrong, I like the Spiders from Mars, but if I had to pick the one that was most enjoyable to me, it was that Let's Dance album. I thought that was great. Frank Zappa. I mean, come on. Come on, how many genres?
Well, you know all the albums. How many?
Oh, I can't count them. I mean, he did a doo-wop album. He did country songs, pop songs, rock songs, metal songs, speaking songs, singing songs, instrumentals. He was one of those artists that made music that he wanted to hear. If you wanted to hear it too, that's great. But it was all for him. And the talent was insane. And I told you off air again about he got a hold of a woman who plays the marimbas and the xylophone and all of that. She has a classical, I wish I could think of her name. She's a classical trained person, and she went with Zappa because he challenged her.
Nice.
The classical stuff didn't challenge her. One of Zappa's final albums is a classical album. There's just no two ways about it. Now, don't get me wrong, it sounds like Zappa, but it's a classical album recorded by the London Symphony Orchestra.
Wow.
He was on David Letterman, and Letterman said, how do you get the London Symphony Orchestra to play your stuff? And he says, you pay them. You know, it took 3 years for a time to open up, but they're a band.
Wow.
You pay them. In fact, here is a little bit of the Frank Zappa classical album. You can tell it's Zappa, But it's not, you know, it's not the You Are What You Is
right,
album.
It's really good Zappa.
Yeah, it's really good Zappa. You and I have that ugly back and forth, and I think Frank Zappa is just a pure genius, and you're like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. And here's the one we'll finish up on, Robbie Williams from the UK. I mean, he's had hits here. Rock DJ was a hit. Let Me Entertain You was a hit. Candy.
This is your boy crush right now. I'm telling you.
I don't know why
you love this guy so much.
I don't know why. I guess I was flipping around and I ran into the Nebworth concert. And I watched his whole Nebworth concert. And oh, that's pretty good. So I've been listening to him. The thing about it is, he was in a boy band. Then he went to this kind of harder edge pop. But the album that he did that I thought was just phenomenal was the one where he went big band. So he's now done three different genres.
Wow.
And I'm of the opinion did them well. That's what Joe thinks. There you go. So we'll wrap up with that. We'll see you again next week with another good show for you. But yeah, congratulations, Beyonce. Fantastic. But you weren't the first to do it. And I'm not sure you're about to change the entire game. But what the hey? What the hey? Maybe you will. I'm Joe Burns.
Tammy Burns.
That does it. Class is dismissed.
How lucky can one guy be? I kiss those. Like the fellow once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she punched back. Like the sailor said, whoa.